Dearest friends and family, we are gathered here today to bid farewell, not a fond farewell, a somber farewell, to Quibi. We all know Quibi. We all loved Quibi. Everyone knew and loved Quibi and understood what it was. And now we must say goodbye to Quibi. Quibi changed the game. The most dangerous game. It flipped the script on the streaming world, but not like a dummy. It was quite smart. It gave the old among us 50 states of fright as they saw a new dynamic structure play. The first one through the gate is never the one that lives, but it is the one that makes the world a better place. It is the one that lets others survive. Quibi, as we all knew, stood for Quick Bite, which means so much because it was quick to bite at every opportunity it had, every option there was, and every dynamic integrated brand available. And now, as quick as its bite was, its bite is now over. Now it goes to the place where bites can be as long as they want. You can chew on that in the kingdom of heaven. In the kingdom of heaven, Quibi will be able to look at paradise through infinite angles of its phone, and maybe will even be allowed to screen share. Quibi dared to reach with a golden arm to a world that we couldn't conceive. But now I ask you to conceive while you look at your sandwich that you're eating. You may only see one bite, one quick bite, but there were two quick bites, because Quibi is always with you. Grief is long for so many things, but for now, let this grief be a quick bite. Thank you, Quibi, and thank you, Senpai Jeffrey Katzenberg.
Thank you for your words, Father Chris Hotomy. That was really beautiful. Russ, come on.
I'm sorry. I'm such a fucking irony poison dick that to confront something like this, it doesn't feel fucking real, Alan. It's like I'm holding my phone in my hand and it's still here.
I know, it's like a phantom pain in a way.
I still have the app on my phone, but every time I tap it, it leads nowhere.
I know. I think
all my favorite programming.
Listen, you might need to delete that, bud.
Alan, stop yanking my phone from my hand. Stop it.
You gotta delete the app.
No, don't forcibly delete it. No.
You gotta move on.
No.
Quibi's gone, Russ. No. It's gone.
Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for attending this service. Quibi meant so much to so many people. And it was such a great service that moved and touched the hearts of millions and everybody in this fucking virus. Separated us all from the water cooler where we could talk about all of our favorite programming, like that show where Quavo drove a car around.
Or how could we forget the one with the lady in the golden arm?
Chrissy Teigen took us all to fashion court? I think it was fashion court.
And how can we forget the Fierce Queens?
Alan, I don't... Will we go on without knowing all the fiercest queens in nature?
I think the fierce, but Russ, the fierce queens, they're still out there.
Even without the app, they're still out there.
But who will respect them?
We can respect them all the time in our hearts. Even without the narration by Reese Witherspoon.
It's like the monkey paw curled because I was like, why would you go see Wonder Woman 1984? Is that it?
Uh-huh.
That's not me crying. I mean, that's not me laughing. I'm just crying. I'm sorry. But it's, why would you go see Wonder Woman 1984 when we're surrounded by 1984 wonderful women every day? And the fact of the matter is that in some ways, you could say we're surrounded by fierce queens every day, but these are more elusive, rare queens that hide in grasses and jungles and such, and they're harder to appreciate because they're also animals. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. More than anything,
just for context, everybody, Fierce Queens was a show hosted by
Reese Witherspoon.
Reese Witherspoon about the fiercest queens in the animal kingdom.
Yeah. More than anything, I mean, you know how much I'm going to miss Sex Next Door, the documentary series talking about the day-to-day lives of different sex workers.
Which is something you want to watch on your phone next to it, on a crowded bus next to another person.
To get quick bites of, more importantly.
Don't say its full name like that. Don't say it. Alan, you know that I bought a doodle jump machine from a failing Dave and Buster's.
Yeah.
Just to watch my favorite Quibi content in the largest screen fit for the right purpose. And to see what happened, it just breaks my fucking heart.
We're all feeling it one way or another, Russ.
Alan, why aren't you crying more?
No reason. Hold on a second.
Alan, I'm looking at the podium. Since we've been on here, you have consumed at least four vape cartridges. How many weed vape cartridges have you hit since the beginning of this funeral?
Look, this is only twice as much as I usually go through. It's fine.
But since we started talking about it here at the podium.
Yes, exactly. It's in the last, you know, couple minutes.
Alan, can I open up your overnight bag, not a purse?
Yeah, go ahead.
Alan, this is filled to the brim. There are at least 15 in here.
I know. Yeah. And
I saw you go to the garbage recently.
Yeah, I mean, I have to... Listen, Russ.
I'm sorry.
This is medical.
I shouldn't be Jacques Usé right now. I'm so sorry. I just Quibi...
Do you think the Fierce Queens would like this, Russ?
No, we shouldn't turn on each other. Especially at this funeral in front of all these people.
Do you think the Agua Donkeys would want this from us?
No.
That's what I thought.
I'm sorry, Jeff. Jeff Katzenberg is in the audience, and they are crying right now.
The audience is sobbing.
Oh, God. He's just whimpering to himself. Apples and submarines. Apples and submarines.
I mean, I can't imagine the kind of what it feels like for a parent to lose their child.
Jeff, is it worse or better than when Father of the Pride got canceled?
It's worse.
Oh no, he's just crying harder. He's just crying harder.
Somebody,
fuck.
I think Froob guy in the back screamed, "It's worse."
It is worse because imagine Father of the Pride, but times it's like
we lost like just we lost a like child, 20 of them.
Yeah, it's like a bus. It's like a school bus. This is the great hereafter. The great quib after.
It's like a school bus full of Carmodes and all the other great characters from Fathers of the Pride. Father of the Pride.
If we were to lose Carmody, but times 20, I don't even know where to start.
Yeah.
It's like we all lost an arm today, like a phantom limb, but a golden arm.
Yeah.
So it's even worse.
And unlike the original golden arm, which was slowly killing this woman over time, Quibi was only bringing life to our dreary existence.
Well, if only Quibi was on the PlayStation Vita, because Vita means life.
God.
Oh, God. Oh, God. I'm sorry. Oh, Jeff had big plans for Quibi. He was going to have a a PSP UMD redemption system where you could redeem your UMDs for PSP or for PSP, your UMDs for PSP for Quibi content that would be similar.
Yes.
Or the same ported ported content.
Well, and I mean that I, you know, I'm a big UMD investor, Russ. So I was so excited to get in on this.
Oh God. You know what's the worst part about this? Alan, we were finally going to quit this fucking podcast and go full. We were going to become the first Quibcast.
Yeah, that was the dream.
We were going to be the first Quibcast. It's the only podcast you had to listen to with your phone vertical, staring at it the entire time, and you couldn't close your window while watching.
Yeah, and only for about 7 or 8 minutes, which is the most that the Surgeon General would let people be exposed to our podcast at a time.
Yeah. These that isn't laughing, by the way, that's crying, and it just hurts.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. And famously, you know how much did Joe Rogan get paid to go on Spotify?
It's like a few hundred million or something.
We were gonna get the exact same amount of money.
Yeah, well, you know how they were gonna, you know how Joe Biden and Donald Trump are gonna do that 4-hour interview on Joe Rogan. We were trying to get we were trying to get them to do our Quibi show.
Yeah.
Do it 7 days.
We were gonna get we were gonna get Kamala Pence.
Yeah, that was what was gonna happen. I was shooting for
gonna get Kamala Pence.
I was shooting for the Suns debate to be on ours, but they wouldn't. But listen, it still would have been great to talk to a fellow Tupac fan, Kamala.
They're gonna go on my brother and me. They got that, Hunter and Eric.
Oh boy. Well, they're both brothers. They have brothers, so it makes sense.
Yeah. And they were all going to do cocaine.
Yep.
I'm so sad. Alan, can you hand me some of that shrimp salad there?
Oh, yeah, here you go.
God, Quibi, should we start lowering the casket?
Yeah, I think it's time. Jeff, if you want to do the honors...
Okay then. I don't know how Jeffrey Katzenberg sounds. And then
a
flashback like in Watchmen.
No, wait, Jeff, don't jump on the coffin like Leland Palmer did in Twin Peaks.
No. No, Jeffrey Katzenberg's being lowered in. No, Jeff, you have so much more to offer this world.
Oh no.
No. Jeff, no!
His hair turned white from the shock.
Oh, God.
Oh.
Oh, now they're burying him.
Jeffrey, no.
No, all three Migos are there crying.
Oh, boy. Quavo, Takeoff, Offset.
Oh, God. Any other content creators I forgot that were on Quibi who are also crying right now?
I think Ron Funches has had a show.
Yeah, I fucking did.
it's pretty there cool. There was Idris Elba had like a race car show.
That's so funny, dude. dude, there was so much on Quibi.
There's
the
so much great
was
shit.
Limitless
memory hole with whoever hosted that.
I was so excited. I was gonna adopt a child just to show them all this programming.
Well, how could we forget? And how could we forget Punk'd with Chance the Rapper?
I forgot about Punk'd.
Where he did all... Where,
Chance is...
Where all of his pranks were just led people to realize Chance, how much they loved their wives.
Chance has literally curled into a tiny ball and is sobbing. And he's being held aloft by his giant wife.
He's... What's he saying? Ooh, I miss my app. I miss my app. Ah!
Ah! Oh, no. My God.
Oh, Chance.
Chance, no.
Well,
you know, I don't know if it's, you know, I don't know if it's complimentary for like a band that shows up to perform for a funeral. Mm-hmm. Like that might be gauche, but if there's anything I know about Quibi is that they had no standards.
And they were all about
when it came to content.
Disrupting.
They
things.
Were all about disrupting. And I think we should disrupt this funeral and record Hogcast Speedy Delivery. The number one independent Sonic Pizza podcast on the planet. I'm your host, Russ Walsh. With me, as always, is my co-host, Alan Black, on a very solemn episode, Quillhead's Talk Shop Personally. Alan, this is a dark one.
Yeah, we have that one song. Elegia or whatever by New Order playing in the background this whole time.
Yeah. Yeah. We both sound like Skullface right now.
Yeah, this is, it's raining. It sucks.
We lost our content platform. We're soldiers without a content platform.
It's true.
We're content creators without a contort. I can't even talk. Contort. Content. I'm so broken up. We're content creators without a content platform. That's the same as a soldier with no nation.
It's true. Do you think, Russ, maybe we should start our own, what's the right word for this? Posters sans frontier? with us, yeah. The suspended Hollow Lives.
Da Vinci
boys.
The Vinci boys will be like a boss battle for,
well, they're like Ornstein.
Who would be the content creator, Solid Snake? Would it be one of the, it'll be Liquid Paul, Liquid Logan.
Liquid Logan. The Da Vinci guys are kind of like Ornstein and Smaug or something.
Oh, yeah. Dude, what a harsh time. Of all the things that happen, I think the number one saddest thing that is making people lose hope the most is Quibi dying. And it's just hard.
Yeah. I don't know.
Now we'll have to only... My jaw is just getting tired thinking about all the long bites I'm going to have to take.
And my jaw is not tired because I'm not soy-facing at this great content as much as I used to be.
It's just so hard. It's just thinking about the queens that we yossed and
lost. We
Savage
yossed
queens,
and lost.
What was it called? Like, we yossed to... It's better to have lost than to ever yoss at all, said the fool. I wish to have both.
Yeah. I can't go back to a pre-Fierce Queens world.
I can't go back to anything anymore.
Rusty, play any video games lately?
Yeah, not much. I've been playing 13 Sentinels and...
What's that?
Oh my god! Is that another... Patron of the... Do you call somebody at a funeral a patron of the funeral? An attendee?
A patron of the funeral.
Patreon. They were part of the Quibi Patreon process.
Oh. But who's flip-flapping here? Who dare interrupt this funeral?
I guess we... I'll start this timer in 3, 2, 1, go. Oh, Ani!
Watto!
Oh, I'm so sad, Ani.
Watto?
Ani, my favorite streaming service is cancelled, Ani.
I'm Alan, I'm not Anakin.
Oh, Alin. Do you have spare part to fix the app? Alin.
No, I don't, you know, I wish we could fix the app.
Oh, Watto sad.
Watto, what connection did you have to Quibi?
Oh, my favorite show with hottest woman, Chrissy Teigen.
Oh, ho-ho. You're a big Chrissy Teigen fan?
Follow her Twitter, I do.
Well, you guys both own...
Oh, Ani!
You guys are both fans of human trafficking.
Hey.
Allegedly.
Oh, Ali! No. We do both name search, though, Ali.
Oh, you did both lock your accounts with 7 million followers, too.
Oh, Ani. Oh, man. You know, we've only known Watto for a short time, but...
He's really inserted himself lowest... into our social circle.
He really has. Hey, it's good to make new friends.
It almost makes me feel like this might be part of some sort of overarching scheme from Dweeganol, but...
Why?
I don't know.
Dr. Dweegan would not try to manipulate us in that way, I don't think.
No, I mean, it's not like he's like a Hannibal type figure or anything.
No. I mean, his name sounds similar, Dr. Dweeganol.
Yeah, and he did at some point get handsome Northern European cheekbones, but I don't
know.
That has nothing to do with it.
That has nothing to do with it.
You know what has nothing to do with Watto? Pizza pie, baby. Blaze praise.
Thank you, Alan, for getting my mind off of it. Blaze praise.
Praise be on this day.
This is a very spiritual day for me.
Well,
I famously don't believe in God because God and religion has killed more people than any disease or,
even COVID.
Even COVID.
Now you used to say that before COVID, but now afterwards you might have to rerun your numbers.
It's just a freaking flu, dude. The only kill I take personally for the only thing that's killed COVID's killed so far is Quibi, which actually might make it worse.
Yeah.
You know what? Actually, Alan, you've changed my opinion.
Yeah. See?
COVID is worse, but only because of Quibi.
Yeah, I think that's fair. We can both agree on this.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's an ending of things today, Russ, but it's also a new beginning. I tried a new pizza place in my town.
That's heartwarming.
Yeah, when God...
Did you take a hot date there, aka your phone and your Quibi app, and watch a quick bite while you got a quick bite?
It was not... Unfortunately, no. But I did get a quick bite of this pizza. This is a new pizza place called Grotta Pizzeria. It is on... It's in West Asheville. I've never been to this place, but I think it is... It's part of, like, one of, like, the million breweries we have in town now. I think it's one of those pizza places that's inside of a brewery at some point. Right. But it just now opened. It is Italian for grateful. Right. They say that they combine locally sourced, made-from-scratch ingredients and Italian artisan cooking methods. The pizzas I got were, I guess because it's like in a brewery, they're serving kind of like personal, like bar pizza kind of things.
Right.
But the pizzas themselves are much like, they're like a Blaze pizza. Are they? Essentially.
Okay. They're like it's still wood oven, high temperatures, quick cooking. It's less the belt.
Exactly. Yeah. So the one I got two. I got this plain cheese, just as kind of like a baseline, and then I got the Grotta, their titular pizza, which was tomato, mozzarella, spicy fennel sausage, pepperonis, onions, and green bell pepper. It's kind of what I would normally get on a pizza.
Right.
You know,
a combo or a supreme.
Yeah. I mean, pepperoni, mushrooms, green pepper is like a solid loadout. And I gotta say, I think the sausage was really great. It's pretty good. I don't think it's that local. It might be that local like Hickory Nut Gap sausage or something. There's like some local pig farm or brand or something around here that does that.
Right.
Alan,
can I say something? Since I moved back in with my parents, I haven't talked about yet. I didn't know this until recently, but my parents live we live in the country. So what is a neighbor? We live in the same vicinity as a rescued pig sanctuary.
A pig sanctuary, huh?
Yeah, we drive past big pigs all the time. These were like people who bought pot-bellied pigs as a pet and then abandoned them.
Did they ever try to, like, see you drive by and they try to, like, run and grab you out of your car?
I am wearing my little Cops and Robbers costume, but no, it's not like that.
But you got a
pig
sanctuary.
I always get stuck as the cop. I always want to be the robber. Okay, so I mean,
obviously, if you ever played Cops and Robbers as a kid and you liked being the cop, you're a pervert and fucked up.
Yeah, we are pretty fucked up. And now because of Persona 5, it's really gotten fucked up.
Yeah, now we really want to become the robbers, become a phantom thief of souls.
They've stolen our hearts, and I'm pretty mad about it because I get always stuck as the cop, and then they always are trying to throw me in the pig sanctuary.
Well, I hate when I'm playing cops and robbers and people break inside my heart palace and find deep secrets about me.
and then you're just like, oh, I was corrupt and I was doing bad things and I am using my podcast as a scheme to sell nootropics to dum-dums. Oh, fuck, Alan.
Shh. Those G Fuel checks haven't cleared yet.
Yeah. Oh, man, the Sonic.
But there was one thing. There's a couple of pizzas at this. Well, go ahead and finish what you were saying about the big pig thing.
That's all. Just I drive past a lot.
Do you feel
big
bad
pigs
about eating pork now? Is that your thing? Because you see these big pigs?
No, I feel more bad that I can't ride them around.
Yeah, that's how I usually feel when I see a pig, because I'm a big fan of Invader Zim, who famously said ride the pig in that one episode.
yeah, famously.
I had Russ, I still have it probably in my childhood bedroom's bathroom. You know? I had a light switch cover that was Gurr riding the pig, and it said ride the pig, and it was my light switch cover
in
my
bathroom.
Did you
get that at like a flea market or something?
I think,
like, how would you have gone?
I think it was like a DIY thing I bought off somebody bought me off of like eBay in like 2008.
That owns, dude.
Yeah, it's like a screen printed thing that just says ride the pig, and like Over time, like the print has started to fade, but I used to have Invaders and Light Switches.
It slowly is devolving into looking like Coco Pelli.
Even better. Now I can put it in my grown-up house.
By the way, Alan's house, it went from looking like Lane's room in Serial Experiments Lane, except it was all
now
razor
it looks
branded.
Like it. Now it's just
and
Coco
now
Pelli
it's turning into
bonks.
A mid-2000s Hot Topic. I'm getting my joke out first, Alan. It looks like a mid-2000s Hot Topic. But only on the lower floor. What were you going to say on the top floor?
I said it's just full of Coco Pelli bongs upstairs.
Upstairs is all Coco Pelli. Downstairs is Hot Topic. This is how you share a podcast, everyone.
That's how it works.
We're good at hosting, and we're good at not cross-talking, because people don't like that, and we want to put on a professional show, especially in the death of our good friend Quibi, the streaming
show. We do have to put on a professional face here, and really crank out some good content this week. Yeah. Anyway.
Chrissy Teigen did not appreciate that. She name searches podcasts too.
Fuck. Good. We'll get that SEO bump. There was a couple of other pizzas were like not available to me on DoorDash. And it pissed me off because they have one that has like hot honey on it. And then they have one called like the Farmer's Market that is like a seasonal thing. Man. That's like just a bunch of like fresh ingredients. And it had like fried eggplant parmesan on the pizza or something, but it wasn't available. They just had it on the menu tempting me, but it said it like I couldn't buy it. The pizzas I did get were okay. They were a little bit cold by the time they got to me because this pizza place is a little bit farther away. I'm surprised they delivered to me actually. But I mean, it was fine. I mean, it was like a Blaze caliber pizza. I'd be interested to try these other pizzas with like, you know, different toppings, but the sausage was good and spicy. Maybe I'd make like a custom pie myself next time or something or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's all right. Yeah, it's not bad. It's nothing like special. It's like a solid like 3.5, I guess. But
does it ever fuck you up, Alan, that you can now order pizzas from the other side of the country whenever you want through Goldbelly?
Yeah. That does fuck me up.
But then you have apps that can't even deliver everything on a menu.
Yeah, that is fucked. And it, you know when it really bites me in the ass, Russ, is that if I want to have Taco Bell delivered, I can sometimes do it on Uber Eats, but only when the Taco Bell feels like it. There's
on the 13th hour, just like in Persona 3. Because
sometimes it's basically that sometimes. Because like I've went some days where like okay. I look on like DoorDash around like lunchtime and I'm like, okay, it looks like Taco Bell's taking orders today. I'll order this when I get off work. And then like, you know, 4 hours later when I want to place an order, it's not there anymore. So sometimes I've tried like placing an order like, okay, I'm going to get my order in for Friday afternoon, right off work. I'll have it delivered around 5 and I'll place my order at like 11 a.m. And then it comes to 5 p.m. and they're like, we don't want to take this order actually.
The moment they run out of Baja Blast in the fountain, they just stop.
I think they just have to shut the restaurant down at that point.
They have to shut it down. It's like a Flint's barbecue or something, like one of the like a super trendy local place.
Yeah, we sell until we run out of stuff. Yeah, I think that's it.
If the sour cream cult gun jams, they can't keep the restaurant open.
I think that's honestly it. So I just have to go and...
Oh, Alan, this is a question I was going to ask on Twitter, but I forgot to ask it. What would you rather have, a 7-Eleven microwave or a sour cream cult gun from Taco Bell?
7-Eleven microwave.
Dude, yeah, you got me there. That's a tough choice.
You can easily make like the sour cream cock gun. You're on your own.
Going to Home Depot. What are you using that for?
Well, you could just get a big Ziploc bag, fill it with sour cream, and cut the corner off of it and squeeze it out.
That's not the same, dude.
Speaking of, okay, I don't want to get too derailed here, especially not on our funeral for Quibi episode.
Very professional Quibi episode.
But I went and tried a new Mexican place in town called Cantina Louie's. Who I'd seen, they have like a
what?
Cantina Louie.
Cantina Louie. He's just the local roustabout.
Well,
he's a wild card. It's
something that I never thought to go to because it was just like, it's like a restaurant I've seen signs for, and it just has like a Day of the Dead skull with like a hat or something. That's like their logo. But I finally did get food from there, and I gotta say, it was pretty good. They just do, like, American-style burritos or whatever the fuck. It's not a chain, it's just some right. local bullshit. But the thing I will say is this. Me and my family got empanadas. And the empanadas had sour cream or crema or whatever, like, put on the outside. But it had, right. and it was, like, clearly, like, they had drizzled, like, they dumped a bunch of empanadas in a container and then drizzled, like, sauce on top, right? And, right. But I don't know if it had dried or if it was just, like, some weird kind of sour cream, but it had, like, hardened almost a little bit into, like, a frosting consistency right. on the outside of the empanadas. And it wasn't bad. Like, it didn't taste bad, but I'm like, what am I eating? Is this still sour cream or what's going on here?
Yeah, it's very strange. It's like, well, there's a very specific consistency that you associate with sour
cream. Yeah, but it's not that.
It's not like sour cream's flavor is so, like, such a known, you know, it's like, we all like sour cream, but it's the flavor is pretty, you know, watery. It's not like anything specific.
It was, yeah.
So you're going for a consistency.
You know, here's the fucked up thing, is that even though the texture and consistency was weird, I did wind up liking it better than normal sour cream, because I feel like most normal sour cream is just kind of watery and, like, a little bit too sour. And this had just, like, dried out and just kind of became more plain. And I'm like, this doesn't feel right, but it tastes pretty okay.
Okay, okay.
So,
I did look it up, by the way, Alan. FIFO Innovations, to get a 1/3 ounce sauce gun that holds 10 milliliters of a tube of your loaded condiment of choice is $140.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah, pretty insane.
I should get that. Okay, I take this back, by the way. This is a chain. It is a chain with 7 locations, most of them in Florida, and then one here for some reason.
Where?
That is very strange. It's like St. Augustine, Jacksonville, a bunch of places I've never heard of in Florida, and then Asheville, North Carolina. Fucking reason. We're like 1,000 miles away and up in the mountains, but they've got Cantina Louie here, and I gotta say, it was pretty okay. I want to see what kind of sauce gun they're working with.
Right.
Yeah, oh, here's a perfect picture of exactly what I was talking about. Show me that again. I'll send it to you in a second, but go ahead and tell me about your pizza, Russ.
I have a surprise pizza that I forgot about until about 5 minutes ago, and I'm gonna talk about it. I went to Costco again. Famously, in a couple episodes ago, I shook up the pizza community by saying I got a slice of the pepperoni and it was just a little too much, too greasy. The pepperonis felt like they had cooked so much they lost some of their flavor. The cheese was goopy. I was like, there's something askew about this. Like, it's just something off about this Costco pizza from when I was a little kid. It turns out there was, and it's a little thing called the pepperonis. I had a slice of just the plain old cheese Costco pizza, and it was so much more effective, and it did so much better than its meat-covered companion slice that I have to shout out to the Costco cheese pizza. Much better.
Russ, we've been talking about an upcoming pepperoni apocalypse for a while now. Do you think maybe it's already reached the Costco pepperonis? Do you think maybe they're using some subprime meat?
They were offering it. I'm embracing this. I've become pepperoni pilled, and I'm done with pepperonis. Throw what's left of them into the ocean. Embrace chaos. I'm like the freaking Joker at the end of Dark Knight.
Here's a hot take. Sausage is better than pepperoni.
Wow. I might not go that far.
Fuck you.
I don't know. I've had good sausage.
I think a good sausage on a pizza can do way more than a pepperoni. A pepperoni is always fine, but it's like, it's hard to mess up a pepperoni. But they're always like right in the middle. A really good sausage is like, whoa, it'll take it to the next level.
I'll say this. A sausage is complimentary. It's a good member of the team. It doesn't showboat as much as a pepperoni, but I don't know if it hits the same highs as pepperoni.
I think if I could get like a, when I'm, if I'm going to like a New York slice place, you know, when I'm getting like a pepperoni, pepperoni slice,
that thin crust, is there something in the water?
I got to fold it. Hey,
I can't even hold this thing. It's slipping out of my fingies.
If I got to choose between a pepperoni and a sausage at one of those places, I'd probably get the sausage.
Wow.
I feel like that with the sausage, at least you got that little bit of spice in there sometimes.
Right. I don't know. And you know what? I feel like sometimes maybe I associate like sausage with like bad Domino's, like hamburger meat sausage.
Oh, but I think that's the thing is sausage has higher highs and lower lows, but it's worth it sometimes.
Lower lows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Speaking of lows, Chuck E. Cheese is asking to destroy 7 billion prize tickets so it can save money.
Alan, I am so torn up about having to bury Quibi here. I don't want to see what happens when you have to bury Pasquale, the chef.
Well, it's not, hopefully we won't have to once they get rid of these tickets, but I've got an idea. Russ, I think this might be time for us to do a Phantom Thief heist.
Alan, no, I've said that life was over.
Chuck E. Cheese is asking permission to destroy a supply of a whopping 7 billion of its prize tickets at a cost of almost $2.3 million, as it will actually save the company in the long term. So this is very weird. In an emergency motion this week, Chuck E. Cheese Entertainment, the parent company of the classic chain, said that because of the rapid drop-off in sales and the acceleration of e-tickets now caused by COVID-19, they now have a buildup of prize tickets it no longer has need for. They are enough to fill 65 40-foot cargo shipping containers, according to the filing. 65 cargo containers, make note of that. As a result, they want to spend $2.3 million to purchase and then destroy the tickets so they will not fall into the hands of the public. This is a very hefty price tag, but they explained that doing so would actually save them about $1 million in the long run, since prize tickets are redeemable by guests at significantly higher value than the cost of the prize tickets. The debtors believe it is in the best interest of the estates to mitigate any risk these tickets face by being circulated into the general public. So there is millions of dollars in Chuck E. Cheese tickets that are just sitting out there in shipping containers, waiting.
Alan.
Waiting.
I didn't want to say this, but my entire retirement fund is in Chuck E. Cheese prize tickets.
Well, they're probably not going to burn those.
Okay, good. Are you saying that was a good? That's a good investment now.
It might be an even better investment after they're destroyed.
It might be. Everybody, if you've been using, instead of buying stocks, I played the Chuck E. Cheese game, and I have accumulated. Close to how many are they? Just 7 billion tickets.
Yeah,
I've accumulated close to about 600 million tickets.
Do you think that there was a period of time
I was planning? Oh, I was just gonna say it. My retirement plan is I would go to a Chuck E. Cheese every week and then get their highest profile items, which probably at this point are like those weird Xbox 360s that you could lease from Costco.
Yeah.
Do you remember those?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna get those and hoverboards and just sell them on the boardwalk. And just live the rest of my life like that, and I think it's gonna work out for me.
Do you think there was a period of time in the 90s where, you know how like there was people that were like super into collecting Beanie Babies as an investment, and then like couples would get divorced and they would have to divide the Beanie Babies between themselves? Do you think somebody did that with Chuck E. Cheese tickets at one point?
I hope so, and I also hope that there was a Chuck E. Cheese exclusive Beanie Baby. That like grown men and women had to like compete, battle for, like gaming the like, they're like Usenet groups that were gaming hard to get fucking this like Chuck E. Cheese Beanie Baby. Wouldn't that have ruled?
That would have ruled. I would have liked there to be, yeah, like a Chuck E. Cheese exclusive. Like you can only get this with like a million tickets. So they've got to come in here and play skee ball for like 12 hours.
When I get that fucking thing,
I'm gonna be rich.
I'm going to be rich.
Because I mean, how many other people? Nobody else would spend 12 hours playing skee ball to get this. So it's got to be super rare.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. But that's how I'm gonna live the rest of my life. And it's maybe a good thing because the tickets are gonna become much higher value. But also, Chuck E. Cheese might not exist.
Yeah. Probably.
But I'm a gambler, baby. What's a gambling song?
I'm a Gambling Man by the Allman Brothers.
I am a gambling man, and I will take it.
You know, speaking of retirement funds, Russ, I've got a heartwarming kind of, not really, story. 89-year-old pizza delivery man get surprise $12,000 tip.
Oh, fuck.
Derlin Nui, who sounds like a character, that sounds like the name of the virgin character that Steve Carell plays is Derlin Nui. It sounds like
Derlin Nui. He sounds like a lesser character in The Great Gatsby. I don't know.
He works 30 hours a week at age 89 to make some extra money because his bills cost more than his Social Security covers. So he's a victim of a failed state.
Jesus Christ.
Derlin Nui.
This is a comedy podcast. Thanks, man.
It took him. Let's see. Blah, blah, blah. One of his customers, Carlos Valdez, began recording his deliveries to his front door and sharing them on TikTok. Known for saying, "Hello, are you looking for some pizza?" when he delivers, he became a fan favorite to Valdez's 53,000 followers. "It's insane. Everybody loves him," said Valdez, adding that many of his followers commented their frustration that he still had to work. Somebody at that age should not be working that much. "Collectively, as a TikTok community, we all came together and we were able to raise $12,000 for this amazing person."
What if he's such a big hit, he gets invited to one of the TikTok houses?
Derlin Nui is in the TikTok house.
Derlin Nui is in the TikTok house. What's his role there? Like, I guess he still delivers pizza, but like he does it more fun.
He delivers pizza
to
the
hat.
"Hey kids, are you looking for a pizza?"
Dude, he delivers it to celebs, and they can't like go in their house anymore.
Jimmy Kimmel's gonna fucking hire this guy to like work for his show.
Dude. And he's gonna deliver such funny pizzas. Like, he's gonna deliver celebrity pizzas to everyone.
You know, I think this is a great, you know, people at this point in time, you know, a lot of scary things happening in the world. A lot of people are losing hope. But listen, even if you're 89 years old and delivering pizza, you might sometime meet a rich person who is so amused by your existence that they deign to give you a little trinket.
That owns, yeah. It owns. I hope a rich person takes us as their pet.
I mean, honestly, we're going back to, it's feudalism time, baby. We need to have a feudal lord that takes over and covers our needs while we become court jesters
yeah,
and just
and you know
dance
what
around
say,
and do podcasts.
Jesters are the ones who told the king the truth, so they were the bravest of all.
Yeah,
and the content creators, you know.
Yeah, it's exactly that. That's great. I'm glad that TikTok came together to give $12,000 to an old man.
I mean it is a little confusing because we already got $1,200 from the Trump administration.
Why didn't you just buy property with that, Derlin Nui? What the fuck were you thinking?
Derlin Nui, you dumbass. Listen, you kind of brought
actually,
it on yourself.
I don't even know if he could qualify for that because he's on Social Security and he probably can't even get the $1,200.
You dumb bitch. Derlin,
how,
you dumb
how
bitch,
dare
you
get, how dare you get old in this country and not be rich?
Oh. Dude, you are so fucking stupid, dude.
God damn. But you're so lucky you met this TikTok influencer.
God, we need the Social Security blanket. The thing that's going to keep us all alive is our insatiable thirst for content.
I just saw this at the bottom of the page, the tags for this article, and I am losing my mind. Tags: Derlin Nui, TikTok, Social Security. Is that the first time TikTok and Social Security have been tagged in the same article?
That because that's the fucking future, dude.
TikTok is your Social Security. Whenever you get like retirement age, you need to become like a funny old person that reacts to things.
You gotta be so funny, and you have to have like big bushy eyebrows so you can really go like, "What?"
Well, or look like this guy and just kind of look like the grandpa from Up, so people like feel bad for you.
There are two people in this world where funny old people to react to things when they're old, and then like people who are trying to have a daughter who's gonna make a wet ass pussy style song to upset older people.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Well, you know, that was kind of my black pill story of the week, Russ. But I've got a great update from our personal friend Nathan Masri. On medium.com.
Is he here at the funeral? I mean, he's
I heard
he came close with Nathan because of our mutual love of Quibi.
I mean, he's just too torn up about this. I think he needs
look
his
at
time.
Him. he seems to be crying so much that he needs his safety straw to chew on.
And
he's putting that safety straw up his nose.
Allegedly. He's taking tissues out of his lasagna box that turned into a tissue box.
Yeah.
Nathan Masri.
Now he's looking at some sort of white powder.
Allegedly.
Parody satire. Satire parody.
It's melting in the rain. Oh no. Nathan Masri on September 2nd posted, "Garfield Eats closes entirely for just for you midst the pandemic." Entirely just for you. Garfield Eats combats COVID-19 after stage 3 across Ontario by renovating their brick and mortars into a memorable and nostalgic venue for private birthday parties for all ages. So I'm a little bit confused because he said it closed entirely, but now he's saying that they're renovating it for private birthday parties.
Right.
Co-founder Nathan Masri says, "Jim Davis always told me to take care of the cat, and the cat will take care of you. But now it seems the cat will be taking care of the fast food and restaurant industry with our birthday and merchandise business model."
Wow.
You can now meet and eat with the Garfield mascot for 2 hours.
2 hours.
A family or close friends can now gather with their loved ones of up to 15 guests only to celebrate together. Bookings are online on the website by clicking Party Now to book their entire Garfield Eats for the first time for $249. Pay what you eat only, $0 deposit, zero venue fee. The big hairy fat deal includes a choice of lasagna, spaghetti, a Garfield shaped pizza with skinny fries or farm salad, any fresh juice, with also a new Garfield cyber safety comic book per guest or child.
What?
Garfield Eats has a standard operating procedures, SOP, and safety measures for COVID-19 since March 2020, with no worries and no shared space allowed. It is just for you! So first of all, he keeps saying SOP. He said that several times in that interview. Is he talking about Sons of the Patriots?
Yeah, I was just thinking the same thing. Yes.
Also, I really love when Nathan's just allowed to write without an editor. Because it is just beautiful prose.
This is prose, yes.
Nabokov
couldn't have written better.
Yes, yes. The staff... Okay, this is
also,
very...
Also, you know what? I want to go to a restaurant and have a fun time with my family. I want the big hairy deal.
I want the big hairy deal. I do want...
I want a big hairy deal all over my food.
I do want $249 pay what you eat only. $0 deposit, zero venue fee.
What does that mean? It's $249 pay what you...
So I think maybe that means you pay $249 just to eat with Garfield, and then you have to pay for the food
separate?
What
do you mean you get to meet Garfield? Is he in a costume?
Well, okay, here we go. Here's the next paragraph, Russ. The so-called, scare quotes, talents...
What?
I don't know if he's coming at
Low-key
like
he dig. It's cool, dude. It's cool. They're working through a pandemic.
His employees, but he's calling them quote unquote talents. Must always wear their Garfield masks, also available for sale, and every guest will have their temperature taken as mandatory procedures before they are ready to party. Garfield Eats is also testing virtual birthday parties on Zoom with the Garfield mascot. The cat is here to stay, and Garfield Eats is far ahead than many other restaurants. The main revenue generator that drives the food sales are the merchandise. There is no other restaurant like Garfield Eats, which can appeal to the customer in regards to merchandise. Which brings the Garfield Eats average ticket sale to $37 rather than $15 like McDonald's and other traditional fast food chains from the 50s.
Wait, what the fuck does he mean by 50s fast food chains? What does he mean by that?
I think he means like compared to like Wendy's and Burger King, which are not from the 50s, but they're old.
No.
So let's just recap.
Ray Kroc did not make those, I guess.
Let's just recap this paragraph. He does not think that his staff is talented, I guess. You can buy the Garfield mask that the talents are wearing, I guess. Hopefully not off their face, like you can't wear the one that they had, but like you can buy an identical mask. And you will have your temperature taken. Also, you can pay for Garfield to be on a Zoom call with you.
Yeah, I mean, well, Garfield VTuber, I guess. I still don't know if it's a guy in a Garfield costume or a fucking...
Okay, Russ, this is our way to get in. We gotta say that, like, okay, we need to get live 2D and face rig up for Garfield.
Garftubers, yeah.
We can become Garftubers, and Nathan can pay
us. I'll be Odie, you can be Garfield. I'll just go...
You're great at that.
Just do the whole time.
Yeah, I'll do.
Yeah, I am.
I'll do my Lorenzo music voice.
Dude,
podcaster paid $10,000 a month to pretend to be dog on Zoom calls.
Dude, pretending to be cat, the most famous fat cat of all.
Well, you're pretending to be a dog. That's
true.
Canadian food service sector laid off 800,000 people in March as the coronavirus forced shutdowns, according to the Restaurant Canada survey. Thank you to our Garfield merchandise and private birthdays. Garfield's Eats can survive. The world's first Garfield restaurant is reviewed by Ken Domick, food critic and YouTuber, with more than 152 million views combined and 500,000 subscribers. He rated Garfield Eats as a 5-star restaurant, especially with the popular Big Cow lasagna and Garfield comic strip packaging. When Nathan saw Ken's video after the Garfield Eats app Twitter profile account was tagged, he says, "After 1 year of recipe development, we are happy to hear from a food critic and YouTuber like Ken, as we have come a long way to our perfect recipe in Toronto, even though we don't use Yelp or lead our customers there." Ken is saying he's coming back to Garfield Eats for a special video project for his channel.
Dude.
Ken Domick, the famous guy ever. Also, this was definitely written by Nathan, but he still pretended like that, like, when Nathan saw this video, like, he thought, like, he made it seem like, like, I guess, like, his assistant wrote this, or like a news story.
So yeah,
it's his medium page. It's his medium page.
But I feel like it was still gone over because there's no typos. But it's,
well, no, there are typos, because, like, I was reading,
I didn't see them.
I was reading it, and like the grammar's bad. The spelling's fine.
Oh, of course, the grammar is terrible. It does feel like somebody went through and fixed it, but he went like, "Please do not touch the grammar. This is how I speak." And
I think he dictated it like to somebody.
Like he definitely did. Oh my god, that's so funny.
Because this
true.
is like the way he would talk this out now, loud.
Dude, he left it. He left a fucking voice message on their phone and said, "Just put this up verbatim." And they took the transcript off like Google Voice or something. I don't know what. There has to be something to this.
There has to be. I'm glad that Nathan's doing all right, because he has a $37 average purchase compared to $15 like the restaurants from the 50s.
Right.
Nathan's doing great. He's thriving in this pandemic. We can all learn from him.
We all can learn from him.
You know,
we all need to.
You know who I've learned a lot from, Russ? A little guy named Sonic T. Hedgehog. It's Sonic.
Oh my god.
We need him now more than ever. Sonic News, Views, Reviews, and Tudes. Huge news.
Huge.
In anticipation of Sonic's 30th anniversary next year. How fucked up is that? Sonic's turning 30 next year. They have announced a bunch of new products. First off, published by Dark Horse Comics, a full-color hardcover historical retrospective covering the 30-year history of Sonic the Hedgehog video games is coming soon. It is the Sonic Encyclopedia. You can pre-order it now for $50 on Amazon.
Dude, whatever happened to that Udon art book? Did either of us buy it? The Sonic one?
I don't think so.
That one looks so much better than this weird Dark Horse one. It's kind of fucking me up. Though it's from 2014 and it looks like it's out of print, so I'm assuming Udon lost the rights.
I'll have to get it at some point.
Yeah.
New pop vinyl figures. New Funko Pops are on the way. Including classic versions of Sonic, Tails, Silver, and more. Classic Silver. His classic
Finally,
design.
Silver. Silver returns.
Toys and collectibles from Jack's Pacific. A new collection of action figures and plush toys. And then, here's great. Here's the great news. Jewelry collection. What you've always wanted, an official Sonic jewelry collection. It includes 3D designs, handset stones, and quality craftsmanship, according to Sega, and will have a, quote, hip-hop influence.
Dude, hell to the fucking yes.
Can I get, like, a Sonic...
Finally!
Sonic chain.
And they are teaming up with Adam Sandler from Uncut Gems to produce it. And these things are beautiful.
I cannot wait. I cannot wait to get to get that and have to pawn it off whenever I bet on a basketball game.
Hell yeah, dude.
Classic Sonic comic book miniseries. IDW will release its first Classic Sonic Adventure, as well as a special and launch a new miniseries. Collectible enamel pins. Whatever. Okay. That's kind of, that threw that in there for, that kind of sucks. I don't care. Here's another great one. The G Fuel Sonic collaboration flavor Peach Rings will be relaunched next year in an exclusive 30th anniversary collector's box.
Dude, as a human who has seriously considered getting the the double size G Fuel bottle.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just saying, hey, G Fuel, if you're listening in, I love your product. I love your Sonic flavor. You have shown a Sonic Mania level of respect to Sonic that should not exist for an energy drink.
It really shouldn't. Like, it's too good.
It is legit probably the best energy drink I've ever had in my entire life. Put out a double sized Sonic cup and you've got a happy customer. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. You gotta do that. You know what? They still got cans on their website, and I might have to buy some of those right now because I've just been thinking about that Sonic drink. Dude. And oh man.
It's good in powdered form too. It's so fucked up.
Okay, you've had the powdered one now, and it's good?
Yes, I have. Okay. I've had too much of it, to be honest.
I'm gonna get the powder. God, it's so
live fucking on the show, everybody. Get ready.
I've got it. I just added it to my cart right now. I've got a shocking. We don't have Sonic news like this very often.
Hearing that 80-year-old man,
the 89-year-old man that
worked to death and then saved, rescued by TikTokers, that filled my heart with joy.
Yeah,
just the thought of it, especially during a funeral. So to bring me back down, Alan. I mean, it's probably the right thing.
I think what this calls for is all the quill heads to go out into the community and stop some thieves.
Vigilante justice.
We need to do some vigilante justice. Sonic the Hedgehog display.
Sonic style.
Sonic the Hedgehog display suffers second theft.
Dude.
This is a display, cardboard cutouts of Sonic, Eggman, and Knuckles outside of the Ladysmith Community Health Center in Vancouver Island. Is that the island that's off the coast of Vancouver, I'm assuming?
Right, yeah, I think so.
There's a related article here. First it was Knuckles, now Tails, full name Miles Tails Prower, has been stolen from the Sonic the Hedgehog display outside the Ladysmith Community Health Center. When thieves stole Knuckles from the display on Canada Day weekend, the figure was returned within 48 hours. Unfortunately, Tails, who was taken on Labor Day weekend, is still missing. So I don't know what the Tails looks like because it's missing and it's not in the photo, but, it is Sonic. These are like cardboard cutouts that are like posted right up outside of the health center. It's Sonic who is spinning a ring around his finger. It looks like he is wearing a doctor's coat and has a stethoscope, and the thingy on his head. Knuckles is posted up holding an x-ray screen in front of his chest so you can see his skeleton and he's got a heart beating inside. And then even Eggman is there in his little egg floaty car thing.
Even Eggman has to respect the people fighting on the front lines of the pandemic.
Even Eggman,
like, even he.
This is basically those two kids saying real heroes and pointing at somebody. It's all the superheroes parting in the hallway to what is the nurses and doctors walk down, but it's all Sonic and his friends. They're all here. Jackie Bates spent days creating the Tails figure alongside her brother Ricky and her fiance Mark Turner. There was such an uproar about Knuckles getting taken that I'm surprised someone tried it again. I don't know if it's just for attention or because they really liked it, but Tails was my character and I worked really hard. Let's see. Bates suffers from cystic fibrosis and knows many of the nurses. She was inspired because of her close relationship with many of the nurses, and you know, she thinks they're heroes and they're great, you know, they're doing a good job. We're definitely missing Tails. This is a meaningful donation for us To see that someone who used healthcare services was expressing this amount of gratitude and let the community know how much we're appreciated, but some horrible person stole Tails and Knuckles, and Tails is still missing. Please return Tails, Westgate said. Westgate, I think, is one of the nurses. There will be no repercussions. We just want to have Tails back. It's so meaningful to our community.
It's so true, dude.
Here is the kicker. The 2020 Sonic the Hedgehog hit movie was largely filmed in Ladysmith in 2018.
Bruh. Dude.
How's your mind
blown
there?
You know a real head drew these because they were like, okay, I can make Sonic art, but I ain't doing the fucking movie Sonic. We're doing real. This is...
Oh, for real.
Proper...
That's a really good Eggman. That's Sonic. A really good Eggman.
Yeah, no, it is funny because it is the Sonic X Eggman. That is Sonic X Eggman.
Yeah, it looks good, though. It looks really...
Is blue-eyed Knuckles, is that... Is it modern Knuckles?
Does he have green? And he's purple eyes.
Yeah,
it might be purple. It's hard to tell from the lighting. It's like an outside shot.
Well, I'm just saying that, like, even his design has changed. This is a real head, and this real head made real art.
I think we need to do vigilante justice to whoever stole this.
We need to do vigilante justice.
If there's anything I learned from Watchmen 2019, it's that it is okay to do vigilante justice, and sometimes you become God.
You sometimes do become God. And, you know, I'm not going to let my full weeaboo come out here. This is what I was actually going to talk about, which I should repeat. I don't want to go full weeaboo here, Alan,
mm-hmm.
but all I have to say is this. That statue got renovated in Japan.
Yes, yes.
And it got beautifully recreated and nary a scratch on it and no thievery. And here... In Canada?
Vancouver. Yeah.
Vancouver. All I'm saying is that these punks think they can get away.
These Vancouver, you know, punk, I mean? Kids. We need to have AB deal out some justice to these fools.
We're gonna pay AB to deal out some fucking justice.
Please, get this tail statue, get this tail thing back.
Yes.
We should donate money.
Is AB with Dr. Dweeganol in Europe?
No. Because he got beat up too. He got his, like, throat slit, didn't he?
No. Well, I think they lived. I'm confirming it now, everybody. AB is alive. Because we killed AB, and then they got revived. And then...
we all crawled back down onto the Bacta tank at the very end of the episode.
So between Hannibal season 2 and 3, which have nothing to do with anything, I'm just thinking this out loud, at this Quibi funeral, it took like 6 months between the second and third season in terms of like showtime.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But we're doing that in real time.
Yes.
Yes.
I think we should donate money to this health center, but not to do normal like hospital stuff. Just to get these statues back. Just to get these little cardboard cutouts back. Because that's what I care about, really.
Just to get
I need these cardboard cutouts. Back. They're really good. They're really good art. That's the fucked up part.
The sad part is that, Alan, would you be tempted to keep it?
Do you know what I would like them to do? Whenever they're going to like take it inside for the winter or something, I would like them to do a community auction of these cardboard cutouts with the profits benefiting the health center. How about that?
Wow.
Because I would probably pay like a couple $100 for a cardboard cutout of like...
Well, now that they're valuable, before you would have not thought a second of them, but now that they're going to be battled for. Now that there's these roving gangs...
Do you think somebody fake stole this to raise the value of these cardboard cutouts?
The ultimate grift.
Is this a... Oh, man.
This is a work, brother. Damn.
Fuck.
Damn, dude.
Speaking of work... I've got a toed this week. I don't know what that has to do with work. I just need a segue.
It was a good one. I liked it.
One, you already know what it looks like, Russ, but let's tell the audience. It's Wolverklebot.
It's Wolverkle, a canon character in the Archieverse.
I haven't got as far as you, Russ. I've only read a couple chapters in. But we got into the Archie comics, finally reading it from the beginning.
As we all know, the Archie comics are much like manga, and they run on chapters instead of issues.
Is it chapters? I've always...
No, it's issues.
I've always said chapters because I read manga. Idea.
It is very funny, the idea of like Ken Penders being like, no, this is a chapter. Fucking bit on our stupid podcast is.
Yeah, our bit that nobody seems to have got over like 5 years that we call it chapters to be pretentious, but people think we're doing it seriously.
I mean, it was a different podcast when we started this, dude.
Oh man,
we didn't think we'd be getting into Wolverkel at this point, but you know what?
I'm surprised we didn't burn through Wolverkel pretty early on, to be honest with you.
We may have. There's so much lore. There's so much to, and now that we have all of these new listeners who think that this is a Pizzagate podcast,
do they?
We talked about it. I think it's going
to
happen.
Oh, you're talking about we're hoping to get all these new listeners of people that think we're doing Pizzagate.
But it will happen. So if I say it like it is, then they're going to catch up to this episode. And then the episode that they heard about, they're going to get to. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Okay. So anyway. I'm just saying like it will happen because it will happen and it has happened. And if you're listening to it right now and you're listening because you think we're part of the QAnon conspiracy, welcome.
You're right.
Tell us if we've talked about Wolverkel before.
We've all seen the video of me and Russ dancing with a child's face on our face.
yeah. Yes.
And if you go back in our episodes and listen to enough, you'll find out the secret truth. Okay.
Everything that you need to know about the Q conspiracy is here in this podcast. You should listen to every episode multiple times and donate to our Patreon.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay. Wolverkel. Oh, boy. This is a very complicated bit. So there was a guy called Botman that Robotnik made that was like a bot-themed Superman.
No, it's Batman because it was.
Yes, Batman.
Batman.
I'm looking at him now. He does look like Batman. He does have on his chest written "Bots are hots." Cool joke, I guess.
I mean, Batman was always like,
Batman wanted to fuck robots and bats. I guess.
I mean, the thing that everybody hated. See, Batman used to be very edgy and a detective and stuff, and very dark. And then he became a himbo.
Yeah, he became himbified.
He became himbified for close to 40 years until a young man named Christopher Nolan changed everything.
Yeah, he used to just be wandering around like the Joker would steal something from an art museum and he'd wander in there and go, Da Vinci? And then, you know.
Da Vinci? and then the Joker would be like, you ever dance with the devil at the pale moonlight? And he'd be like, the moon doesn't have skin.
Yep.
Can't be pale.
So after Botman failed, Robotnik tried to get a robot based on the character of Wolverine to come and attack Sonic. However, a glitch happened in the communications, and instead Wolverkel was sent there, much to Robotnik's humiliation. Wolverkel is an Urkel robot. I guess he's vaguely Wolverine themed because he does have like yellow legs and a blue metal torso and blue shoes. And then he has like a Jaleel White-ish looking head and giant glasses with a little siren on top of them. But that's Wolverkel for you. He says, haha,
that
snark.
That is Wolverkel.
Snark. Is snark supposed to be like snicked?
I don't know.
Trivia. Wolverkel is a portmanteau of Wolverine and Steve Urkel. The latter is meant to be a tribute to Jaleel White, the actor playing Urkel, who was also the voice of Sonic in the cartoon. In fact, Sonic makes direct reference to this by saying to the robot, you sound familiar. This is an incredible bit of trivia. Wolverkel is the only superpowered bot shown not to be destroyed. He's still out there in the world somewhere.
Yeah, he could be teaming it with Ignix Noxus?
Oh yeah, the weird wizard man?
The weird wizard.
He could be
out there joining out with the Brotherhood. He could have gone on a date with Julie Sue to make that she had to make Knuckles fucking jealous. I don't know. I mean,
he could have cucked Antoine for all I know.
He could have cucked Antoine and had sex with Bunny Rabbit, which would have been, you know, her giving into the robot side of her urges. I guess I don't know.
I'm so mad seeing now how much of a nerd that and dweeb that Antoine is, and that he winds up with Bunny Rabot. Fuck that. this is nerd wish fulfillment, manic pixie dream girl shit. Get out of here.
Yeah, just you're just imagining all the hot southern ladies in your area dating French dweebs, and it just the anger you feel.
Because everybody fucking hates Antoine. He sucks. He's a cuck. A lot of these early chapters are him being cucked.
One of the mid-20s issues is just, like, a reappraisal of Antoine, and he was like, he was good the entire time. I'm like, motherfucker, I have read the issues. They all hate him, and he did nothing. You can't just retroactively say, he was actually cool the whole time.
Yeah, he sucks. Get out of here, Antoine. We hate you. He has a sword, and he's French. Like, ugh. Get out of here.
Oh, yeah. And he has a tragic backstory, too.
I mean, who doesn't?
Everybody in that comic has a tragic backstory. So
like, literally, true. Who doesn't have a tragic backstory in this fucking shit?
I mean, we're all the main stories of our own life, and some of us, we all in our own way, have our own tragic backstory.
Okay.
So.
Questions from listeners.
Oh, man. This was such an emotional outpouring.
We have so many people coming here to mourn Quibi with us.
There's so much... You know, no. Podcasts have kind of filled like the world that music used to, and this podcast is like a candle in the wind for.
They're not mourning Quibi. They're celebrating the life of Quibi. Rest in power.
They're celebrating the life of Quibi.
Rest in power, Quibi. Okay. Noodle Dealer Pro asked two questions. So there's no question that Nathan Masri could have saved Quibi, but why didn't he? That's a choice he made. I think that's a choice that he's going to have to live with for the rest of his life.
He could have saved it. He could have. He could have changed it to Garfield eats to Garfield quick bites.
God, Garfield loves quick bites. That's the thing.
Oh, fuck, dude.
Fuck. Oh, man. Next question. So would Quibi still be with us to get today if they had if it'd been clear that it was supposed to rhyme with ribeye? Yes.
Yeah. Who asked that?
Noodle Dealer Pro.
Oh, yes, that's already, correct. Yeah, sorry.
You want to get the next one from Ravi?
If Morton's Steakhouse had exclusive or Ruth Chris Steakhouse had exclusive content for Quibi, like you pull out your Quibi app and scan a QR code.
Oh yeah.
While you waited for your ribeye, and it'd be like the Quibi, and change the app to a ribeye theme. Oh, that would have been beautiful.
That would have been great.
That would be the kind of synergy that makes a man go to his knees and start crying.
Definitely, 100%. Ravi asked, "Is if Jeffrey Katzenberg was one of the big national pizza chains, which would he be?"
Papa John's.
Yeah, sorry.
Papa John's. I mean, much like how Shrek is kind of like a cruder, grosser pizza than Domino's, it's like how Papa John's is like a or Shrek was like the cruder, grosser Disney. It would be like Papa John's is the cruder, grosser. Domino's.
Speaking
Does that
of which,
make sense?
Yeah, exactly. And also, do you know the Croods are coming back, Russ?
The Croods are back, baby.
That's the one and shining light that we have in these dark times.
What was the podcast that our friend was on that had that they talked about the Croods and then shit happened? That is our. We're parking there. Okay, we're like parking on a old URL, and we are now the Croods joke. We have that. It's ours, and we own it now.
Yep.
And we like it. We should message Ben and ask if we can have it.
We should actually do that.
Let's do it now. Should I do that?
Do it
now?
After the show. Do it after the show.
Okay, we'll do it after the show. This is officially a Croods podcast. We do that stupid fucking joke, or it was funny back then. It's less funny now.
Russ, read a question.
Okay, gotcha. Am I in trouble? Is something bad?
Yes, you're in trouble for buying these Croods things on the air when somebody might sneak it out from underneath us. You got to do this in private.
Chrissy Teigen's looking at me.
Chrissy's
Instagramming on her private.
Chrissy's court. She's gonna buy this and put.
Oh,
and she's gonna put the Croods.
She does control the Chrissy's court.
You're not gonna be able to get it back from her if she gets it.
It's more like Kangaroo's court, Chrissy.
Possession is 9/10 of the law. Once she gets that Croods, she's not letting go.
Oh, fuck. At Rory Machel on Twitter asks, could Sonic have saved Quibi?
I think so. But, I mean, that's like saying,
I think
like...
it's the only service that Sonic could have watched.
Yeah, that's quick. The thing is he experiences time at such a fast pace that anything longer than a quick bite is just too much for him to handle all at once.
Yeah, I mean the only thing he takes big bites of is chili dogs, and I don't know. He would just be one subscriber though, and I don't think he could individually have saved the business.
Well,
just one,
he could be in a lot of places at once by going really fast, so maybe he could watch on
that's
a bunch
true.
Of phones.
But he well, are you saying he would just have multiple phones?
Yeah.
Anyway, I just find it unrealistic he could have saved it, and I wish he could the world.
I think asking if Sonic could save Quibi is a lot like asking, like, why does God let bad things happen to good people? It's like...
it's true.
And by the way, that is what happened whenever Quibi died, is I did run into a church and start cursing at God in Latin, like the West Wing guy.
Right.
I did do that.
You clutch your rosary.
Listen here, you son of a bitch.
God, gosh, dang it, God.
Deuter asked, which Sonic character would become so obsessed with their golden arm to the point they wouldn't remove it despite it slowly killing them?
Rouge the Bat?
She does love gold.
She loves gold.
Is she like gold member?
Oh, fuck, dude. She's like Goldmember, I guess.
I think I'm gonna.
Or she's like Beyonce at Goldmember, very sexy.
Oh, Foxy Cleopatra.
Foxy Cleopatra, of course, her finest role. Sorry, Steve Martin, Panther Heads, where she played Zenithia.
Something. I think she was like a musician or something in that, and like a famous person.
Oh my god! Oh my god!
Oh, Hamburger.
Hamburger. Scott Max on Twitter asks, which pizza chain is going to snatch that quick bite trademark and start delivering one mouthful at a time via high-speed drone?
Ooh. You know, the only pizza thing I could say is a quick bite is a bagel bite.
That's true. But then the Totino's thing. Oh. Totino's and Sonic have classically been tied together. Unless, is Totino's and... Does Totino's have any relation to pizza bagels?
I don't think so. I don't know. There's only like two companies that own all the food companies anyway.
Yeah, it's either Mondelez or Nabisco. So
Nelson Mandela's?
Mondelez. Oh boy.
I was hoping it'd be Nelson Mandela. Blah blah blah. Let's see some joke questions.
No, bagel bites are a Heinz product.
Oh, they put
from
that
the Orida brand.
They put that good Heinz ketchup on all those bagel bites.
That's basically what that pizza sauce is.
Our good friend Alex Chevalier asked, top five hypebeast Sonic characters in which Balenciaga sneakers would each character wear? I don't know anything about Balenciaga. Hypebeast Sonic characters, though, I think we can answer. Number one has got to be
Sonic.
Silver.
Silver, oh my god.
I think
god.
Silver's more of a hype beast. I think Sonic doesn't put that much
that's
effort.
That's true. Sonic runs so much and so fast that like he's usually ahead of the fashion trends, whereas Silver
and I think
is
Sonic,
a little slower.
Sonic is always wearing that tech wear. Like he's wearing like those...
That's
that,
true.
Those,
you got me there.
He's wearing like some tapered joggers and some moisture-wicking clothing. I think Shadow...
It's all flash. No, it's all function. Not as much flash, but still, you know,
okay,
cool.
Number two, probably...
Vector.
I was going to say Rouge the Bat.
True. Okay. I just... I hate to contradict. I think it is Vector. I don't know.
Vector is a hype beast. I was thinking he was like a number two or three. Okay. We're agreed on that those three are there.
I don't know what Rouge's casual wear is. And also, she might be a freak because her out costume in Sonic Adventure 2 is like poison and Final
oh,
Fight.
Oh, you're right. You think
yeah,
she's...
I don't know if the, you call think, it a hype beast as much as, like, you know...
Like weird S&M.
TikTok dog lady.
Yeah.
Yeah, OnlyFans dog lady.
What about Espio?
Espio, hell yeah. Espio's up there.
What about any of the... I think maybe all of the Babylon rogues might be hype beasts.
We'll just credit them as one. They're all... Storm the Albatross, Wave the Swallow...
Storm the Albatross has the same problem as me in that he would like to be a hype beast, but he can't find anything in his size. Because hype beasts are made for like tiny skinny people.
Oh fuck, dude.
Yeah,
I'm
so Jet the Swallow,
Storm the Albatross. Shouts out, thoughts and prayers.
So Jet the Swallow and Jet the Hawk and Wave the Swallow. Sorry, they're definitely hype beasts for sure. Are there any Drainer Sonic characters?
Tails, man.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. That checks out. And last question.
Maybe comic Knuckles, but not game Knuckles.
Yeah, okay. And Fleetway Sonic.
Fleetway Sonic. He is a drain.
He's a drainer. Oh, man.
He is a drainer, dude.
Last question at DJ Cold Breakfast. What was the best Quibi show? Was it anime? They didn't. Maybe that was
thing called Fierce Queens.
Maybe
dude.
They should have put anime on Quibi.
They should have put anime on there. That could have saved the service.
You know what's perfect? Because quick bite length. Peter Grill. It's like 12 minutes. Peter Grill on Quibi.
That would have ruled so fucking hard, dude.
They could have put Pop Team Epic like, on Quibi.
Quibi should have really tapped into the horny market. They really should have, because they had that the show about the lives of the sex workers of America, maybe the whole world. I didn't see it. I only knew. But I mean, they could have shown all the interspecies creatures fucking and sucking, and it could have saved Quibi.
You know,
everybody would have watched it on the bus, and we would have been a more inclusive society.
I had a thought the other day.
Fuck!
I had a thought the other day. What if Pornhub buys Quibi? It could happen, yeah. Right?
It could happen. I mean, the technology is worthy, you know, the ability to transition between vertical to horizontal when you're, you know.
Yeah, you're just going to be watching like your like 12-minute long cream pie compilations and then just get a quick bite of that.
Yeah. I want a quick bite of that cream pie. Mom, my mom's never going to make it to the end of one of these episodes. We're in the clear.
If she somehow survived an hour and a half into something that's based around an app she probably doesn't know or care about dying, then right.
Once again, parents just don't understand, and it's the reason that we can't have good things.
It's true. It's because of these. It's because of boomers and Gen Xers out there.
Us Gen Z kids.
Are we Gen Z, Russ?
I'm saying that now. I've decided I'm Gen Z.
I would like to become
Us Gen Z.
Gen Z
kids, all we cared about was hoverboards and Quibi, and you took it away from us. And you know, you've unleashed the bees.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
We're the sleeping giant. And we're sleepy because we've been sharing nothing but TikTok memes, but now we're awake.
Well, I've just been sharing a bunch of TikTok videos and posting them on Twitter saying, the kids are all right.
The kids are all right. But we're not all right anymore. We're all mad. We're all fucking mad, and we're.
Yeah, I'm gonna make so many TikToks of me pointing at words floating around my head, saying how mad I am about Quibi dying.
Yes.
And then maybe if I find an old man that I think is funny, I'll help him not die from being poor. Da Vinci.
I wish the TikTok scenes. I wish those TikTok kids saved Quibi and not that old man.
They could. Quibi would have used that $12,000 more.
They would have given a show to
they should have gave a show to the old man on Quibi. What were
no,
they doing?
No. We need to. It should have gone to a celebrity. Alan, don't speak craziness.
He could have been guested on an old show. Like he could have been.
Yeah, he could have been, but for no money, obviously.
Yeah, just exposure. In Chrissy's court,
they should have paid him an exposure. That's way more valuable. Who would have been the most annoying celebrity to give a show?
Rob Dyrdek.
But it has to be a low. Rob Dyrdek, dude.
Because he already has that shitty show that's on VH1 constantly.
Dude.
The show where he just
and
a
this
tosh.
This is political. This is a vote dot show, dude.
God. I'm surprised there are...
That would have
We never got to have an entire election cycle with Quibi.
Don't say that.
Hillary Clinton Quibi videos?
Hey, why don't you take a quick bite out of the electoral process?
Oh, man. I'm just chilling with Jeffrey Katzenberg.
Oh, fuck, dude. I'm so sad. This is a real downer of an episode. I'm sorry, whoever's listening and wanted something to pick them up this week. This is not the episode
We have a lot of fun here on Hawkcast Speed Delivery, but more than anything, our number one priority is being journalists. And sometimes you just got to report on the sad things in the world.
This is not a comedy podcast.
No, I don't know why you would think that.
Yeah. Alan, do we have any plugs? Is there anything we need to share?
We have our wrestling spin-off podcast, Shootcast Jabroni yes. Delivery. We have yes. probably, I think this will probably go up before the episode we recorded last, maybe. It'll be going up around the same time, probably. But we have a recent episode of that with a very special and famous guest.
A hype beast of a guest.
A hype beast of a guest, a disgraced cartoonist, personal hero of mine.
Should we say their name? Is disgraced I don't necessarily want to say disgraced cartoonist because there are a lot of them.
Okay, hold on. The disgraced cartoonist part is a joke he did. It's not a real. We didn't have John Kay. We didn't have John Kay or somebody on the podcast. Hold on. Wait. It's Mr. Boop, okay?
It's Mr. Boop. Mr. Boop.
He only pretends to be disgraced because he lied about being married to Betty Boop, but I forgive him, so it's
right,
fine.
Right. It's all good. It's fine now.
Okay. Whew. That was a close one.
Dude, that's so fucking funny. That's the first laugh I've had since Quibi died.
You know what? It's only up from there, Russ. Once you get past that first laugh, it's once those celebs, it's just like the celebs on SNL on that weekend after 9/11 or whatever the fuck, when they told America it was okay to laugh again.
Yeah, nature is healing. Nature is healing.
Yeah, it's time. I'm glad we could heal together as a nation, as a world of quillheads.
Oh my God. You know, we don't talk enough about how us quillheads need to band together and just... Hey, if you know a quillhead in your life, just shoot him a message sometime.
Listen, and if you know a quillhead in your life, just say, hey, you know, the election's coming up. You better vote.
Yeah, and then be real mean to them if they said they haven't yet.
Listen here, champ, bucko. Won't. You gotta vote.
You gotta
vote. There's a fascist in the White House.
Yeah, go full Joker.
Go full Joker voice on him. Be like that person that was screaming in the car on TikTok. And doing like a epic my brother and me face or whatever the fuck, just do it. Come on.
Reach out to Travis McElroy. He's a bit. He reaches out to our show a lot. And everybody tweet at him. If you're listening to this, you are obligated to tweet at Travis McElroy. Hey, shout outs, fellow Quillhead, and then link our podcast.
I don't want him listening to it because what if he likes it?
He could.
He might like it.
It could be funny, kind of funny. Well, then I would. Maybe he likes it.
Maybe he likes it, but then I'll feel bad for making fun of him. Listen, he's got to stop soy facing, my guy.
But nice.
Oh man, do you got anything else you want to plug, Russ?
No.
I'm plugging the sovereign state of Taiwan.
Alan, no, we're gonna get dropped from our.
We're gonna get dropped from Billy.
Well, we were gonna be a quip. We were gonna be the first quip cast, and that doesn't mean anything anymore.
Well, it's. I'm gonna go ahead and burn my bridge with Billy right now. I don't care about Billy anymore.
Dude, this is like the Last Samurai with Tom Cruise, but we're the last quip cast.
The last quip cast. Oh boy.
Damn, dude.
Well, it's just we're just quip casters in a podcaster's world, Russ.
Dude, our show's not the same. I felt like Quibcast was what the show needed, which is, instead of being an hour and a half about bullshit, it was 7 minutes of unadulterated beauty.
Yeah, we had that was sort of the most tightly scripted 7 to 8 minutes you've ever seen in your life.
you would be amazed. It was like Machiavelli shit.
Like, you know how
every piece worked.
You know how beautifully paced and scripted all of our Dweegan minutes are? Imagine that times eight. It's that.
Yeah.
Oh, anyway. Man. Well, if you don't have anything else to plug, Russ, I guess we'll just
get a
handful of dirt and throw it on the grave of Quibi and walk out of here.
Okay. And Jeffrey Katzenberg is still...
Yeah, Jeffrey Katzenberg got buried alive. He kind of stopped the Leland Palmer thing, and he just got buried alive.
Yeah. So anyway, the opposite of Jeffrey Katzenberg. Live and learn.
Live and learn.